You're live. You're live. Hello? Pastor Chuck, you're live. You're live.
All right. Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody. It's going to be an exciting night, and God's going to do some great stuff here tonight. Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Let's remember Jeff Hart, so Bob called, and they were on the way to hospital with him today. He's got some stomach issues and some more things. Also, let's remember the people that a lot of people's got this crud that's going around. I was telling somebody, I believe they just dropped something out of the sky and it's hit all of us, because whenever I went to the doctor on Tuesday, he said it was not contagious. For some reason, everybody's gotten sick from something to not be contagious. You know? So anyway, let's just open up in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for tonight. We're so thankful, God, for what you did this morning. Father, I pray this evening, Lord, that you'll just have your way in this service. Father, just lead us, guide us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Holy Spirit, come and move in a mighty way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Amen. Let's worship him.
I want to touch you. I speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds touch their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
We praise your holy name, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you
And Father, tonight you deserve the glory. Father, you deserve the honor. Father, we lift our hands and worship you tonight, God. Father, you are great. Father, you do miracles, Lord. Father, tonight we pray, God. We pray tonight, Lord, for people in our congregation that needs a touch from you tonight, Lord. Father, we lift up Jeff Hartzell to you tonight, God. Lord, he needs a healing touch in his body, Lord. Father, we continue to lift Kathy up to you, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll just Lord, touch her body in a mighty way. Father, there's other needs that we don't even know about, but Lord, you know who they are, you know where they are. And Father, we pray tonight, God, Lord, that you'll just touch them, Lord. Lord, for complete and total healing, we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Debbie, how is Kathy this afternoon? She's still in bed. Is she eating? Okay, well, we're going to be praying for that. But anyway, let's continue to lift her up. Turn in your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. You know, I wish I could tell you tonight as a Christian that we weren't going to face opposition. This morning I preached a message, you know, and telling us to go witness and go tell people about Jesus. And now I'm preaching a message on facing opposition. But that's just the way life is. You know, I share with people and I encourage people. And, you know, whenever you're facing our opposition, you just got to persevere. You got to keep moving on. Yesterday afternoon, we stopped up in Live Oak. Our grandchildren was in a rodeo up there. And it's amazing to see these little boys and girls now and the family atmosphere they have with the rodeos. And they've got cowboy church up there on Sunday morning. They get to go to cowboy church on Sunday morning. But I saw this little boy that he probably wasn't 4 or 5 years old. He's on one of them big horses. And they got what they call ribbon tying. So they have a goat tied up down at the end of this sort of alley there, you know, fence. They get on these big horses. This little boy couldn't weigh 50 pounds, you know, soaking wet. He's on this probably 2,000-pound horse or whatever. And he comes out of that gate, buddy, and he's just wide open. He's getting, and whenever that horse stops, he don't stop. He flies off the horse, rolls. He hasn't taken a stop yet. He jumps up on his feet. He goes, gets that rope, and he starts pulling that goat. He pulls the ribbon off that goat's tail and goes, throws it in the bucket. He just turns around. He's smiling like that. You know, most people, that would have been opposition. They would have quit. They would have cried. They would have said, I couldn't do it. But he was bound and determined that he was going to get that ribbon off from that goat, and he was going to get his time. But, you know, I saw that time and time again after them boys and girls. Something would happen in their ride or something. But you know what? They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They continued to press on. You know, and that there come to my mind tonight, we've got to continue to press on. We got to persevere. And, you know, if we're going to remember the promises of God, you know, against our enemies, he's going to, you know, we got to trust God that he's going to do what he said he would do. There's a story I want to share with you. On September the 21st, 1927, a New York evening paper contained an expert's elaborate demonstration of the impossibility. And a lot of you remember that. Some of you might have been alive back then, Scott. The impossibility of flight across the Atlantic Ocean. The funny thing is, on the first page of the very same paper, with a headline flung across the top of in gigantic letters, Lindbergh has arrived. And underneath was an article describing the first transcontinental flight by Charles Lindbergh. When the experts were saying it couldn't be done, Charles Lindbergh did it. He flew across the Atlantic Ocean. Whenever we attempt anything worthwhile, there's always going to be critics that says it can't be done. Folks, there's some critics in our life that says it can't be done. There's always going to be those that's going to come and oppose you. There's always going to be those who want to fight against you. But it doesn't stop what God has called you to do. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if God's called you to do it, press forward, keep persevering, and keep moving, and you will see your victory come. But there's people that's going to come against you. They're going to tell you that. The question is, what do we do as people of faith when our opposition comes? What do we do whenever the critics try to shut us down? What do we do whenever they try to tell us and they try to discredit God? We are living in a time in society right now that I believe the critics are trying to shut the church down. But folks, it's time for the church for us to press on. It's time for us to continue on. I was sharing in the board meeting this afternoon, and here in a couple of weeks, I'm going to bring the Rangers and Girls Ministries in, and I'm going to have them do their pledges, because we've got a problem back there in the back on Wednesday nights. I've shared with you, and you know, some of you on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, we've got too many kids and not enough leaders. You know, we've got a little 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds that we need to be breaking out. You know, and that's a good problem right there, because the critics are saying, you know, the boys and girls and the, you know, and some of the churches are saying, you know, we're shutting down our boys and girls ministries. It's not relevant today, but we're seeing boys and girls that's coming in and enjoying it. And folks, that's what I'm saying. We've got to continue to press on. If you have, you know, as I said in your Bibles tonight, in Genesis chapter 26, as we're going to be looking at that, we see Isaac, a man of faith. We see Isaac, a man that faced opposition. We see Isaac as a man that the Philistines come against. In Genesis 26, verse 12, it says, I'm in the NIV tonight. Isaac planted crops in the land. In the same year, he reaped 100-fold because God blessed him. Isaac planted crops in the land. In the same year, he reaped 100-fold because God blessed him. Now, the normal year in a good year was 25 to 50-fold, but Isaac reaped 100-fold, 100 times what he planted. In Genesis verse 13 and 5 through 15 says, the man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Now we look and we remember here, these are the days of drought and famine. We look in verse 1, it says, there was a famine in the land. Besides the first famine, there was in the days of Abraham and Isaac went to Amalek, king of the Philistines, and Gur. So this was a time of famine. Water is very scarce. So these wells are very important. The Philistines, what, they're trying to starve Isaac out by the existence. They're doing invasions of his success. They are envious of it. But folks, I'm telling you, whenever you are in God's will and you're doing what God's told you to do, God is going to provide and God's going to pull you through supernaturally. I share with people so many times about tithing, and I tell them, I said, you know, some people says, well, Pastor, you know, I can't afford to tithe. I just can't afford to. I don't have enough money at the end of the month. I said, well, won't you try tithing for a month and see if God provides for the end of the month? Instead of you taking things in your own hand and saying, I can't afford to do it, put God to test and do what he's told you to do. We saw right here in this story right here where he provided 100-fold because what? Because Isaac was faithful to do what God had called him to do. And folks, that's what I want to share with you tonight. In the land there, they had limited resources. Isaac didn't have everything. But he had to sustain Amalek's people and Isaac's vast and growing household. In verse 17 and 18, so Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham. When the Philistines had stopped up Abraham, had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. But what happens here? Instead of fighting, Isaac simply moves on and reopens the well his father had dug years before. You see, Isaac is trying to establish his presence in the land at this time right here. What happens a lot of times whenever we face opposition, we want to sit there and fight, or we want to sit there and argue, or we want to sit there and say, you know, this is the way it's got to be done. But what did Isaac do? He just moved on. He went and dug another well. Folks, that's what I'm here to tell you tonight. We've got to dig another well whenever opposition comes against you. You've got to keep moving on. You've got to dig another well. You know, and Isaac, you know, he dug another well. He established his presence in the land, claiming his father's wells by the right of inheritance. And that's what he gives them the same name. He goes on and he digs the well. In verse 19, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a fresh well of water there. But you know what? Whenever they discovered this well, it wasn't just a regular well. It was a well of living water. I'm here to tell you tonight, whenever you face opposition, whenever you face trials, whenever you face situations, whenever you start digging another well, and you start digging a well, the well that God's told you to dig, you're going to dig a well of living water, and it's going to flow up inside of you. This well was an artesian well with running water, a very valuable and important find in the midst of the drought. Folks, we've got to have them artesian wells in our life today. We've got to have that fresh fire in us this evening. We've got to have that fresh anointing. We've got to be on fire. We've got to, you know, let the Holy Spirit move through us. Then we see here Isaac, he dug another well. So God's telling us we've got to dig another well. Verse 20, but the herdsman of Gur quarreled with Isaac's herdsman and said, this water is ours. So he named the well Issac, which means contention of dispute, because they had disputed with him. You know, folks, he was still facing opposition, but he wasn't giving up. What was he doing whenever he was facing opposition? He was digging another well. I'm here to tell you tonight, whenever opposition comes, dig another well. Dig another well. In verse 21, so they dug another well. They quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sinneth, which means the enemy of opposition. Actually, the name Satan comes from the very word for, you see, is the adversary. Satan is hostile. He's hostile about what God is doing in people's lives right now. That's doing something for the Lord. I see, and I share with you tonight, folks, I believe God is doing some great things in people's life, but Satan is not happy. You know, as a pastor, you come off from Easter Sunday, and we had a great, great attendance here. We had a great program. But the last two Sundays, all of a sudden, this air virus or whatever has come in, and, you know, you sit here and you say, what in the world's going on? You know, why? But I think he's trying to get us beat down. But I tell you what, we're going to be stepping up. We're digging another well tonight. We're going to dig another well, and we're going to let that water, living water, run through us tonight, folks. In verse 22, he said, move on from here, there, and dig another well. And no one quarreled over it. He named it Remeth, which means room, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in this land. Isaac, what do you notice something here right here, though? Every time opposition come against Isaac, he didn't fight back. Did he? Every time opposition come against him, he didn't quarrel with them. He didn't say, this is the land that I was promised. This is the land that my daddy dug the well here. What did he do? He just moved on and he dug another well. He moved on to a well that was dug and he uncovered a well. Folks, that's what we've got to do sometimes. It's just dig another well. We've got to move on. You know, we've got to continue. And, you know, that's what people want so many times in our life. They want to take every ounce of energy we've got out of us by arguing with us, by telling us it can't be done. You know, you wake up in the morning, you do your devotion, you wake up in the morning, you go through your prayer life, you wake up in the morning, and you're ready to go out there, and you're ready to tackle the world, and all of a sudden somebody says it can't be done. Or why didn't you do this here for me? Or why didn't you do this here? You know, look over there. What do they want to do? They want to get you frustrated. They want to get you fighting back. But I'm here to tell you tonight, don't let them win. Whenever that happens, just pick up a shovel and dig another well. Put a shovel there somewhere by your house. And whenever, you know, the opposition comes, just take that shovel and just stick it in the ground and say, I'm digging a well. I'm digging a well. Who knows? Water might come up from that well, and then you will be surprised. But you know what, folks? That's what we got to have. The critics are here to cut us down. The critics are here to tear us down. But I'm here to tell you, the enemy wants to shut you down, but God wants to build you up tonight. God wants to bring you through. He wants us to see our victories. So what are we looking at here tonight? The first thing, by faith, persevere. By faith, dig another well. And God will make room for you. As I share with you, whenever Isaac faced opposition, he dug another well. Whenever you face opposition, whenever you face something, whenever people, you know, come against you, let your faith arise. And what's that song I think we sing? Let faith arise and your enemy be scattered. You know, let your faith arise and your enemy be scattered. But what happens? You know, the devil, he wants to beat you down. He wants you to say that it can't happen. We're people of faith. We're supposed to be prepared for this. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I ain't prepared for it. Last Monday afternoon, I was writing my funeral arrangements. I already had the speakers and the pallbearers. I was hurting so bad. I was ready to just go on to be with heaven. I just knew the time was coming. My faith tank had gotten empty. I'm telling you, I've been there in that situation. But you know what, folks? Whenever I started just getting on my knees and digging another well, that's whenever God started just taking the pain that I was going through, and he started turning around. But, you know, sometimes we get in that situation. Some people, you've been through this stuff, and it was terrible stuff. I haven't heard like that in years. My wife told me I was a big baby. Yeah. But anyway, we have to dig another well, folks. Whenever you're facing the string of criticism, you know, we all want to be accepted. We all want to be popular. We all want to do things that's bringing glory and honor. But you know, we're going to be criticized. We're going to be rejected. But you know what, folks? Whenever they're criticizing, whenever you're rejecting, when you're being rejected, God is doing something behind the scene. And they're going to turn this criticism, they're going to turn this rejection, and somebody's going to come back. And somebody's going to realize, you know, God is using that person right there, because that man or woman, they're a man of faith. Yeah, you know, the enemy, he tries to stop you from moving forward. You know, you're doing a great job. Great things is happening. You know, you've got assignments here in the church, or you've got assignments in your community, and good things is happening. But the enemy wants to come in and tell you, you're not doing a great job. You're not qualified to do that. Let me tell you, man don't qualify you. God does. Man don't qualify you. God does. And whenever God calls you, God prepares you, and God's going to give you the qualifications you need to do. But you know what? Whenever they come against you, you've got to realize, who is your faith in? Who is your trust in? And whenever your faith and your trust is in Jesus Christ, that's whenever we've got to build that other well. That's whenever we got to dig that other well. We've got to make room for God in our life whenever the opposition comes against us. We've got to persevere. But somebody says, Pastor, I don't want to persevere. I'm tired of fighting. Instead of going on, I want to give up. That's what the world is doing today. You know, I was talking to a gentleman last night. I used to work with at Winn-Dixie, and we're talking about the workforce and everything now. And Ralph, you know who I was talking about. He was just a market manager out there at the Wildwood Winn-Dixie. And I said, well, how is it for you to get workers out there? He said, I've got these baby boomers. He said, they want to work. In our generation, we do want to work. This younger generation don't. But you know, that's where God is calling us to raise up this next generation and teach them good work ethics. The biggest thing about it is they don't know how to work. They've learned so much about technology that they don't know how to dig another well. They don't know how to do the things that we taught to do. They don't know how to persevere. They don't know where their strength comes from. They don't know where their source of power comes from. They don't know where their source of healing comes from. And that's from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, folks, what we have to do, we have to remember, you know, who is our strength? Who's our supplier? Who's our provider? We've got to remember, and we got to remember God's promises. Recall what God has said and rely on his commandment for you. For you see, God committed to us. Commitment to us is more important than our commitment to him. We often waver in our commitments, but the good thing about God is he never wavers. He's always on time. He always keeps his promises. No matter how bad we mess up, no matter what we do, God is always right there. Whenever we're in the fire and we're going through the fire, he's right there in the fire going through it with us. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went in there and what? An angel or some was in the fire right there with them. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, whenever you're going through the fire, God is going through it with you. Whenever you think that you're going to swivel up and you can't make it, God's sitting there saying, I've got bigger plans for you. Don't you give up. You keep persevering. That's what Isaac does. In the heat of opposition, in the heat of drought, you know, and they told him that he couldn't do it. They kept taking the wells away from him. They kept, you know, his land was barren. There was no water there. He remembered the promises of God. And whenever he remembered the promises of God, what does it have? What happens? He relies on the promises of God. And he relies on his commitment to him. And God pulled him through. And I'm here to tell you tonight, God will pull you through no matter what situation or circumstance you're going through. In verse 25, Isaac built an altar there and called it the name of the Lord. Then he pitched his tent and his servants dug a well. What's it say right there? Isaac built an altar. Isaac had dug his wells. Isaac had persevered. And then Isaac built an altar. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, you've got to build yourself an altar. You've got to have an altar where you can go and you can cry out to God. You've got to have a prayer, a war room there. Isaac worships the Lord. I'm here to tell you, worship is so important in this day and time. You know, this morning you could just feel the presence of the Lord in this house here. And, you know, I've got a couple of reports from the internet where people said, I could feel the presence of the Lord. But what do? We set the stage at the beginning of the service. My wife started out and said, we're going to be a house of prayer this morning. We built an altar this morning. We set what we wanted to see God do this morning. We set it right at the beginning of the service. And then I said, let's worship the Lord. Let's come in here and let's just raise our hands and let's worship the Lord. Folks, whenever we make it a priority in prayer, whenever we worship the Lord, this is what Isaac did right here. Isaac worships the Lord. He pitches his tent. He digs another well. It's the only time this time, though, it's a well of promise. Up until now, he had been digging wells of oppositions with the names of opposition. But now he digs a well of promise. He digs a well of promise to remind him of God's promises. It goes back to a song that we sing now, to remind him of the goodness of God. And every time he drinks from the well or passes by it, Isaac will remember what God says. Isaac remembers God's commitment to him and his commitment to God. Folks, we've got to remember that whenever we're going through the opposition, whenever we're facing, you know, the opposition, we got to remember we are committed to God. We are children of God. And he's going to take care of us. You know, whenever the opposition comes, we need to do what Isaac does. Sometimes it's just stop and worship. Just stop and worship. Take a little bit of time at the altar right there. Dig a well of promise. In other words, we need to stop and remember God's commitment to us. We got to remember what God has done in our life. We got to remember what he has continued to do. Folks, I've read stories, and you've heard of stories. We had a missionary last week, but missionaries that will go out on the field, and they feel like that they're not making no progress. They feel like that, you know, everything they're doing is just right there, and there's nothing's happening. But they don't give up. They don't quit because they remember the day that God called them to go to that country. That's just like with us as Christians. Remember the day that God, you invited him into your life. Remember the day that you asked him to be the Lord of your life. Remember the day that you surrendered everything to him. And folks, whenever you're going through that dry, barren spell, remember that he's going to refresh you. That well that you have dug, he's going to give you the living water I've shared about tonight. It's going to come out, and folks, and you're going to see things that happen that you never thought would happen before. The third thing, experience the blessings of God and enjoy the peace of God in your life so often that others will notice it too. That's what happened to Isaac. You know, in verse 26, meanwhile, Amlek came to him from Gur with Asenath, his personal advisor, and Pichel, the commander of the forces. Isaac asked him, why have you come to me since you were hostile to me and sent me away? They answered, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, that ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm. Just as we did not molest you, you always treat you well and sent you away in peace. So they stopped up the wells. They chased them off their land. They gave them troubles ever since they had entered the territory. But other than that, they treated them well. You know, who are you kidding? And now they say, you are blessed by God. Why? Because he stayed faithful. You know, whenever opposition comes against you, Folks, you continue to press forward. You can continue your commitment to God. And folks, whenever you do, God is going to take care of you. Right here, Isaac, he could have fought back with them. He could have, got in an argument. But no, he remembered the promises of God. And I'm here to tell you tonight, whenever we remember the promises of God, we experience the blessings of God. And that's why I don't know about you, but I want to experience the blessings. I want to experience the goodness of God. It's not for myself, but it's for people that will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You've heard me share this with you as your pastor. There's boys and girls, they're teenagers, they're adults, they're parents, that they need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But despite all the harassment, they can clearly see that God had blessed Isaac. That God had been with Isaac through all these times, giving him even a place he dug as well. They couldn't stop God's blessings on Isaac's life as hard as they tried. The same thing happens in our life. Whenever we stay committed to God, whenever we stay focused on what God's called us to do, whenever we persevere, we can't stop the blessings of God on our life. Some of you might be sitting here tonight and say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't know what you know going through, but God does. And God's going to pull you through whatever you're going through. In verse 30, Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. That day, Isaac's servants come and told him about the well they had dug. They said, "We have found water." He called it Sheba, which means oath. And to this day, the name of the town is called Beersheba, or Well of Oath. Isaac, he didn't give up. Isaac didn't quit. Isaac continued to dig wells. I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, God is calling us whenever opposition comes against us. Dig another well. Well, this week, as you're thinking about opposition comes, say, I'm going to dig another well. I'm going to press forward. I'm not giving up. Then, why? Because the well he dug, it was a well of promise. Now he digs a well of peace. Isaac's opponents have recognized God's blessing on his life, so they make a treaty with him. They realize here, is whenever people are fighting against you, whenever opposition is fighting against you, they think that they can beat us. But they finally realized here, they weren't fighting against Isaac. They were fighting against God. And you can fight against the humans. You can fight against people. And sometimes you'll win that battle. But whenever you fight against God, you're not going to win that battle. Because God is in charge. God is in control. And you're going to come out victorious whenever you're got the Lord on your side. So they stop fighting and leave him in peace. And that kind of thing can happen to us. If we don't quit, if we keep trusting God, if we don't give up, there have been so many people that have done so many things in life, so many great things, so many inventions, and the first time they made them, they tried to do them, the wheels have fallen off from them, as we say. The first American steamboat took 32 hours to go from New York City to Albany, New York. People laughed. The horse and buggy passed the early motor car if it was standing still. It literally was standing still. People laughed. The first electric light bulb was so dim, people had to use gas lamps to see it. They laughed. The first airplane came down in 59 seconds after it left the ground. People laughed. Then that's what people are doing today. People are laughing at the church today, but I'm here to tell you, folks, we're going to dig another well today. We're going to come out victorious. Many times people criticize our attempts to serve the Lord. Maybe they laugh at us. They say, why don't you just stay home tonight? Why are you going to church tonight? Because, folks, we are committed to God, and we're committed to the presence of God, and we're committed to persevering, and we're committed to seeing him do what he said he was doing. We're committed to see what God has said he's going to do, and I'm here to tell you tonight, whenever you persevere, whenever you keep pressing on, whenever you keep seeking God's face, he's going to pull you through. There's another story I want to share with you in closing right here. This happened in North Vietnam in 2005. Local authorities told a Vietnamese pastor named Silas that he could expect to see trouble if the church continued to operate without a permit. Be careful, one official told him. Watch out. It was a threat as much as a warning. in Vietnam, as in many communist countries, governments commonly denied or delayed church permits, then jailed Christians for meeting without a permit. When Silas shot back, "I don't have to watch out or be careful. God will care for us." He then went on to thank the official for harassing an opposition because he felt it had unified the country's Christians. "Your persecution made us stronger," he told the officer. Then Pastor Silas told the officer that he loved him. "You can shut down our churches, jail us, torture us. It doesn't matter because we still love you." He said, "We love you because God loves you and wants to see you come to know Christ's salvation." Then he asked the official if he didn't feel badly about mistreating Christians. Silas told him he suspected it was tearing him up inside. The official walked away, but late one night he come back. Silas assumed he was coming back to be hauled off to jail, but the official said he needed to talk to him. He was depressed. Silas invited him in, and in tears, the officer told him how he did indeed feel badly about forcing, restraining Christians from worship. Most upsetting, though, that he feared for his job and he did not beat and otherwise harm Christians. He himself felt mistreated at the office. Peers who were lesser officers then looked down their nose at him, advancing through the ranks by purchasing successful higher positions. Such corruption was persevered in the force. Silas told him that God had a wonderful plan for his life and that God would care for him and guide him if he would only surrender himself and turn and follow Jesus Christ. But that night, before that night was over, the official trusted Christ as a Savior. Something after that, he was promoted to a higher position without bribes. In fact, he advanced high enough to know when church raids was about to take place so he could tip off Silas. Silas reported he would tell us on Saturday the police was coming on Sunday morning, so they would come and find nobody there. Then we'd meet for worship in the afternoon. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways are pleasing to God, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him." Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, they tried to silence the church. Critics are trying to say that we can't do this and we can't do that. I wish there was a bigger crowd. There's some watching, but it's time for the church to persevere. It's time for the church to dig another well. It's time, Sandy, if you'll come to the piano, please. It's time for us to stand up, just like this man here. He come in there and his heart was heavy. You know, he is being persevered. He didn't know what to do, but he come in there, and the pastor was able to lead him to the Lord. And because the pastor was able to lead him to the Lord, folks, God used him mightily there, and the church was able to grow. So we're seeing times in our history right now that we've never seen before. But I believe that the future is bright. I believe God is going to do things that we've never seen before. Why? Because we're believing in the promises of God. And we're going to persevere. So, folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, we're going to spend a little bit of time here at the altar. But I want us to just come down. And let's just spend some time in the presence of God. Let's make the enemy scatter. Let's lift up Jesus' name. So, if you'll stand and Sandy plays something, let's come down and let's just spend a little bit of time at the altars tonight. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. Father, we're so thankful, God. Lord, that we can persevere. Father, we're so thankful that we live in a country tonight, God. Father, that we have freedom to worship you. Father, as I shared tonight about Isaac, Father, he could have gave up. He could have quit. There's some people out there tonight, Lord. Father, they're ready to give up. They're ready to throw in a towel. They say, "I can't handle this no more." Father, you know who they are. You know where they are right now, Lord. And Father, we pray tonight, God, that you'll just touch them. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll let them know that they made a commitment to follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Father, tonight, Lord, we pray, God. Lord, that you'll just use us in a mighty way. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, for Trinity Assembly of God here. Father, that you will let us realize, God, that you have planted this church here. Father, you have planted the people in this church, God. Father, it's our job. It's our job, Lord, to call. It's our job, Lord, to call on you, Lord. Father, you know who needs to be here. Father, you know what they need to do whenever they are here. Father, we've had people visit, Lord. And Father, I pray tonight, God, Lord, that you'll just bring them back, Lord. Father, use us in a mighty way. Lord, I pray tonight, God. Lord, we pray for the ones, we've been praying for the ones that's sick. But Lord, we pray for a healing touch in their bodies, God. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'll just move through them, Jesus. Lord, touch them in a mighty way, Lord. Father, we pray. Lord, we pray for the opposition that comes against us each day, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that you'll just use us in a mighty way, Lord. Father, we pray for that learning center over there, Lord. Father, that you will use us, Lord, to reach that young learning center. Father, that you'll use us to reach these boys and girls, Lord. Father, as that song says, you are working in our midst right now, Lord. Father, we worship you. Oh, dear Jesus. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. Father, you are the way maker. You're the miracle worker, God. Father, even when we don't see you working, God, you are working behind the scenes. Lord, you have proven to be faithful time and time again, Lord. Father, we lift Robert up to you as he goes for these tests or whatever this week, God. Lord, that you'll just touch his body, Lord. Lord, continue to give Miss Laverne the strength that she needs. Father, we lift Scott and Nancy up to you, Lord, as they're going through this journey right now, Lord. Father, we pray for Scott's dad, Lord. Father, Scott says, whenever it's your time, you will take him home. But Lord, right now, Lord, just let him have good days, Lord. But be with this family, Lord. Lord, give them the strengths that they need. Father, we lift Miss Vera up to you, Lord. We pray, God, that you'll just continue to touch her body, Lord. And there's other people that has this whatever's going around right now. Father, touch them. We're believing for healing in Jesus' name. Father, be with Trinity Assembly, God. Send us leaders, send us workers for the harvest. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.